My name is Camilla Herlovic. My age is 58. This is March 30th, 2011, and I'm here in Wilmington, North Carolina, with my friend Albert Corbett.
My name is Albert Corbett. I am 68 years of age. Today is March the 30th, 2011. We're here in the beautiful city of Wilmington, North Carolina, and my relationship to Camilla is we're longtime friends and goes back in another generation.
Albert, I invited you here today to talk a little bit about Airlie Gardens. It's such a beautiful place in our community, and it's very special. And I figured you knew more about it than anybody else, alive or whatever. And I just wanted to have a conversation with you about Airlie Gardens.
Glad to do it.
And I wonder, you know, it is very special to so many people in the community. I was wondering if you could tell me why you think it's become such a very, very special place.
I believe and know that particularly people had been here quite a while, that it had, they had a special occasion down there, be it a high school graduation reunion or pictures taken down there, or just a special girlfriend maybe in high school that they rode through there with, and perhaps gave them a friendship ring, or their parents had met down there, or just a lot of real special events. New people, they see it as a place, it's kind of a refuge down there, to where they can just forget about the cares of the world and just enjoy nature and its wonder.
That's really funny that you should say that about going down there with your high school boyfriend or girlfriend, because I actually have a picture in one of my first photo albums of me during a snowfall at Airlie Gardens with my high school boyfriend. And I think we actually climbed over the fence. I don't think we got in there legally at all.
But plenty did that.
But we did go in there and have a good time. So that's funny. I think you're right about that. It's about 70 acres now, the area that's actually owned by the county.
That's correct.
And one of the things that I've always thought was so special about it is how it's really just sort of this idyllic southern landscape with the azaleas and the camellias and the native plants and the live oaks and the moss. Is there anything special that's particularly special to you about the plants or the trees that are there?
I think the great variety, particularly of azaleas, there used to be, and probably still is, one of most every kind of azaleas there. They're large, from the large Formosa to the very small, latest encore azaleas. In camellias, there's some very rare ones down there, and I hesitate to say that at times because people, would try to find them, But it mainly is nature and all of its glory, and it's the natural beauty of it with the lawns and the roads and the winding, just unending seemingly.
How many, just generally, about how many varieties of camellias and azaleas are there at Airlie Gardens?
There are hundreds of.
Hundreds.
Hundreds of.
And I've heard it said, you may be able to tell me whether this is the truth or not, but I've heard it said that the Jones family, from whom your family bought it, were the source of the phrase "keeping up with the Joneses." Is that the truth, or can you tell me?
That's somewhat it is, but I think the expression suited them because they were pay setters, you might say, back in the early 20th century and the late 19th century.
When your family bought it, then that was after World War II, right, in the late 40s?
Let me correct that a little bit. When we say family, my grandparents, my grandfather and grandmother actually purchased the gardens from Pembroke Jones' daughter, who was alive at the time. Mr. and Ms. Jones had passed away, and they bought it from their daughter.
And the gardens had been planned out by the Joneses, but your grandparents continued to maintain and add more plants? How did that happen? Did they
do that themselves? Yeah, the Joneses for a number of years, did not open it to the public. They enjoyed it and they entertained. They used it to entertain their friends. And from New York, primarily, the Esters, the Golds, the Vanderbilts, the
hoi polloi.
the hoity toities of that time. And they would bring them down. The men would come down, and they would go hunting over at the hunting lodge, his hunting lodge, across the way in what is now Landfall. And the wives would probably come down later and socialize with Miss Jones at her home, the old Airlie House, as we call it, mansion. And then at night, they would get together and have big parties. And it was just quite a time.
One of the things that I have always admired is the fact that your grandparents and your family did open the gardens to the public. And I think some of that started around the Azalea Festival. Can you talk a little bit about that?
They opened it for a short time during the year, other than the Azalea Festival started in the year. In fact, the same year it was, they bought it and closed in January of 48. That was the same year the first Azalea Festival came about that spring. And as story goes, the revenue from Airlie admissions and the revenue from Orton admissions went to, for a great part, underwrite the first Azalea Festival. So that's where they were counting on getting funding, and did get that for several years.
Well, that turned out to be a great thing, not just for the Azalea Festival, but for y'all as well, because I'm sure you must have had a lot of expenses. I know your family were good business people, so it probably helped bring other people during the rest of the season.
Obviously it did. Obviously it did in later times. And, of course, most of the people that the good folks that worked with and for the Joneses remained and stayed with my grandparents for several years. Minnie Evans, obviously, for a number of years.
Minnie Evans is probably the most famous person associated with Airlie Gardens, and called Outsider Art, I guess I'm not an art expert, but I think that's what they call it, has been shown all over the United States and probably the world. She's an amazing woman.
She truly is, and truly is, and just a real story in herself. And born in 1892, so she saw all the ownership with the Joneses, and then later with us for a number of years.
And she was she always the gatekeeper?
She was always the gatekeeper primarily. She did some work in earlier times, I think, for Miss Jones up at the house, but mainly at the gate.
And did she actually do some of her drawings and paintings while she was at the gate, or did she do those at home?
She did most of it right there while she was sitting there at the gate. And she'd read her Bible. Between reading her Bible and painting was her life.
Yeah. I've seen some of her art, and it's just amazing. She would make the most amazing drawings, pictures, with anything from crayons to colored pencils to oils or whatever she had. It could be on, it certainly wasn't archival paper when she first started that.
No.
it was just amazing, and it was full, the imagery was full of religious symbolism, and I've heard later with a lot of African-American symbols like birds and things from her African American heritage. So she
claimed she dreamed most of what she painted. She would dream it and then paint it the next day. I always said, Minnie, what did you have for dinner that night? You must have had really something that
it
night.
It must have been particularly spicy or taken or somewhere.
When I was a little boy, I would say that to her, and she'd just laugh. And she said, maybe so. She said, this is what God told me to do.
She's great. Airlie's on Bradley Creek, too. When you and your brothers and cousins were younger, did you go shellfish? Did you get clams or crabs or oysters or fish?
Bradley Creek, believe it or not, at one time was almost crystal clear.
That's hard to believe,
and
isn't
you
it?
Could see fish. And I can still see the crabs. When we'd come down and go fishing, mm-hmm. and then come back, cut the fish heads off, and go crabbing with the fish heads.
Yeah, you just put a string down, yep. and the blue crabs would come right up.
Tied a string
right
around it,
flat.
You'd right. lead it up to the net and swoop it up. But you could see it in 3 or 4 feet of water. That's just how clear.
That's amazing. And I think it's been actually closed to shellfishing since the 50s, really.
Sadly, it is.
Since the marinas yep. and the development yep. went in, even though your side of the creek was always pristine.
It changed over the years, mm-hmm. but still a mighty, mighty beautiful body of water. Creeks and rivers are.
Did you actually grow up on the grounds of Early Gardens?
No.
Did your family live there?
No. My grandparents lived there. My grandfather passed away in 52, about 4 years after they purchased mm-hmm. it. And my grandmother lived down there in the big house until 61 when she passed away. And she didn't die there. She'd gone to the mountains, which a lot of people did in the summertime back
right.
then to cool off. And so she passed away in 61. And I think several years before that, take you back a little bit, she had, she decided in the late 50s, 58, to sell the house to my parents. And some land around it. And my mother and father purchased it from my grandmother, who owned Airlie up until the late 50s, after my grandfather died. And then they were going to live in the house that in the mansion, as it used to be referred to it. And then they saw it was so much work to do mm-hmm. that they said, Mother, do you mind if we would take the house down? It's really, we will live in there if that's your wish, but we would like to take the house down and build us something more livable. And grandmother said, it's your place. You do with it what you will. So they removed the old house and built a more suitable home for mm-hmm. mother and daddy and our family.
Had the hurricanes, I know that there had been several hurricanes, Hazel, of course, in 1954, and then the series of them
yeah.
that came with Floyd later. But how far up the land did the water get during some of those hurricanes? How far, what sort of damage
the land,
was there?
The water, salt water from Bradley Creek came up within the house is situated 22 feet above sea level. It came up, I would say, within 6 feet of the house.
Good gracious.
And which was the worst flooding we ever had.
Was that in Hazel or was that?
That was in Hazel.
That was Hazel.
And I remember as a little boy, I rode down there with my dad. I was about 11 or 12. And he said, Albert, taste that water and see if it, just stick your finger in and see if it's salty. And I still remember putting my finger in that water and... you know, it was pretty shocking.
It's scary.
It's scary. Yeah,
to
really.
Think that of the ocean, if you're a child, to think
and,
of the ocean coming
because
up where you used to walk.
Because Wilmington right. never experienced anything like that
right.
before. So,
did the family have, was there a lot of salt damage to the trees in Hazel like there was
the
with
gardens,
Floyd and the gardens?
Behind the, there's a low part. We call it Spring Garden, which is where most of the azaleas mm-hmm. were at that time, was very low. I'd say it was right at sea level, and so it flooded, and salt water remained in there for several days, and needless to say, killed all of those azaleas. They had to all be...
So they had to be replanted.
They had to be replanted, mm-hmm. but the waters receded after several days, and through determination and my daddy's will to mm-hmm. get it back like it was, I'd say after probably about a year, it was replanted and reopened again the next year for the next spring visitation.
That's amazing. It's a good lesson in why we shouldn't build all the way down to the banks of all of our tidal creeks.
That's
we should
true.
Just
That's
we
true.
Should we should have a nice buffer yep, there yep. for the storms to take care of
because
it.
Because storms will come.
Right. One of my favorite things about Airlie is not just the native plants and the fact that the I love the fact that all of the roads and the paths are curved. It's really sort of a mysterious place to me. But the other thing I love about it is that you never know what statues you're going to see when you round the curve. And I was wondering if you can tell me a little bit about some of those, some what your favorite are, and describe them.
It's just the when you first pull in the gate, it's almost like you're going into a tunnel, because the canopy of trees over it is just so thick that it's. In fact, I can remember being younger. If it was not a real sunny day, you cut your lights on. That's just how dark it was.
Really,
and. But the mystery of what's around the next, to a new visitor, what's around the next mm-hmm. turn, what's around the next curve. And then you would just, it would open up and you would see a bevy of azaleas or camellias in bloom. And it really made it even more breathtaking.
Right. Or a beautiful arbor.
Yeah.
And where did the statues come from? Were they brought from Europe?
They were. I think most of them were. Brought from Europe, and of course the Joneses traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. They were placed there by the Joneses.
Well, Wilmington was a small town. I can remember growing up in the 50s, and there wasn't anything particularly beautiful about Wilmington. It was just a small workaday kind of community. We had the ocean, of course, and the beaches, and great places to explore. But Airlie just always, whenever I visited there, it made me feel like I had been taken to another world. It kind of captured my imagination. And I think that it may be that for a lot of people here.
I think it's and of course it's all, again, nature mm-hmm. and what this area was blessed with, the trees, the azaleas, and what we've become is still that. And I think it's important we don't lose that. That's an important part of Wilmington.
It is.
It's that character.
You've had celebrities, soap opera celebrities and big screen celebrities come through the gardens as a part of the Azalea Festival. Has anybody done anything particularly embarrassing without the names? Can you tell me, what are your special celebrity stories from Airlie Gardens? Do you have any?
We've had some, probably a couple that probably shouldn't be told, but we've had... that I can think of right off, one would-be president, and did become Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan was the Grand
Ronald
Marshal,
Reagan.
Wasn't he?
He was the Grand Marshal.
That's right.
In 1959, he mm-hmm. came the last year that the, and he visited in the House. Bill Clinton, who, after he was president, visited down there within the last couple of years. So, I guess we've had both.
I've heard there were some Azalea Festival queens who got a little tipsier than they should have, but I'm not going to ask you about those stories.
There are some interesting stories.
That's good. What are some of the other earlier memories that you have of playing around there with some of your family members? Did you take picnics down there, or did you just go to visit your grandparents, or was there? Did you have to do chores and help clean up?
A big reason that we bought, my grandparents bought Airlie. I always remember my grandfather saying, as I was a young boy, he said I asked him why he bought Airlie, which is a strange question for a 10-year-old to ask, and he said, Albert, it was to bring our family together.
Really.
And I never forgot that, and I didn't really know what he meant. He meant the bigger family.
He meant it would be a place that people could gather as everybody got older and moved away with your family.
He had the vision to see families, you know, going apart and not being as close as we got into the busy 50s, which life became. And our entire family would get together and meet down there every Sunday afternoon after church.
Every Sunday after church.
Every Sunday afternoon, we'd all get down there about 1:30 or 2 o'clock. We couldn't wait to get there to see our cousins and play with them. And we'd stay there through dinner that night.
Oh, what a great way for a grandmother to keep her grandchildren nearby.
Of course, we wouldn't know her to leave because all we had to look forward to was school the next day.
That's
so
right.
We'd usually get home about 9 o'clock. Just
so they didn't make you wear your Sunday clothes. You were able to
we
get
came
back
home,
in real clothes and go out and
ate our fried
walk
chicken
around.
Lunch and
mm-hmm. go crabbing
and changed,
or whatever else.
Yeah, and just played wherever.
No. Well, I still think it's amazing that your family was able to part with some of Airlie for the public, so that it could be a public garden. And I think there are thousands of people who come there every year. It looks just lovely right now.
It's thank you. It's and the county is doing an excellent job of maintaining it with the help from the Arboretum and the and the foundation, and it's just it's truly of, I think it's a thing of love, you know, when people start. I think they do it because they care about flowers, but then they do it for exercise, mm-hmm. for just because they feel like they're giving something, making a contribution.
Mm-hmm. Have you visited other gardens? Are you a horticulturist yourself? Have you seen what others do, or do you need to do that?
I like to go to other gardens. Mm-hmm. I guess the closest, if anybody wants to see something comparable to Airlie, mm-hmm. would be Bellengrath Gardens down at Mobile, Alabama. It's very similar to Airlie. And I've seen other gardens across the, which is fun to go to, mm-hmm. go to the ones in the Charleston Gardens, mm-hmm. in particular, and others across the country that are in itself not maybe as well known.
Right. My favorite tree there, and I guess everyone's, is the Airlie Oak. Which, from what I've read, was actually an acorn in the 1500s. History goes back that long, which is just amazing to think of something that was here
when Columbus
sailed the ocean.
America.
You know, it gives you a sense of your own smallness in time.
It really is.
Is the Airlie Oak still in good condition? I mean, is it inspected every year? I'm sure as an arborist, you take a look at it.
It's in great condition. It really is. It's been like a lot of old folks, it's been hit on a little bit, but it's still magnificent as ever, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. I'm running out of questions here.
I have a question. I'm curious, do you, when you go to the gardens, is there a place you always visit, or is there a path you always walk? Can you describe that for us?
Interesting question. Yeah, I'd always, I think you were referring to when I was growing up down there, we'd drive up to the house. Sometimes we wouldn't even go in the house. We would just sort of head out. We'd usually walk down toward Bradley Creek and check on the creek, be sure it was still there, so to speak. Probably next, we'd walk down behind the house, walk to the cemetery. There's a cemetery and a chapel there, which is, it's an old cemetery dating, graves in there dating back to the Civil War. There's one of the oldest Episcopal chapels in the state, located on the grounds. We'd walk around there. Usually there was this old organ in there. We'd walk in there and play the organ. Walk down to see the swans. There were about a dozen swans then, probably.
And were the swans native? They just been there, or no?
No, they weren't natives.
They were
purchased and brought in. Grandmother and granddaddy normally had about 8 black swans and 8 white swans. And the black swans are much rarer than the white swans, which you normally see now. And we'd feed the swans. And sometimes we'd go fishing that afternoon. It's a freshwater lake, so they were bass and brim and that type of fish that we would catch out from there. And we'd just walk around, and when we got older, I remember as 15 years of age, we'd practice driving. We'd take our parents' car and go practice driving around the roads. I mean, there were several miles of roads, mm-hmm. that wound through the garden, so that was...
I think that generations of teenagers went there to park.
Oh, gosh.
And court and everything else.
Friday and Saturday night about 11 o'clock, you'd see headlights come on everywhere.
Really? That's when the curfews were getting ready to be broken,
yep.
if the girls didn't get taken back home, and
that's,
moms
that's
and dad
right.
wouldn't
yeah.
let them go
yeah.
out again.
A lot of them then couldn't stay out to even 12 o'clock.
That's
they were
right.
So 11 o'clock, they were...
So did you ever have any ghost stories or, interesting times when you camped out? Have you ever felt like there was anyone from the past that was looking
there
over
was a,
you?
There was an old house on the adjoining property. It was called the Latimer property, which is now Bradley Creek Point. And about 13 acres over there. And there was this old house that was one of the Latimer houses. Herbert, I believe. I could be wrong. But that was what we call the spook house. So we like to go up there and walk around. And then we finally, as kids, mind you. We found a way in.
It was
time.
Abandoned. It hadn't had anybody there for a long time.
Hadn't had anybody in there probably in 25 years. This was back in the 60s, mm-hmm. late 50s, 60s. So that was so cool. It really was. And
that's what kids love, is a piece of land that doesn't have anybody on it yet, and a building to explore.
It was great. And
even new construction sites are fun for kids. Yep. So something that's old and has some spookiness attached to it would be even more fun.
Another enjoyable thing I did down there, and my friends with me, was horseback riding. There was stables down there, and we...
Your family had stables, or the Latimers did?
The Latimers. No, I'm sorry, the Joneses.
The Joneses did.
And in fact, they had Benny Evans' husband. He was the coachman.
I see.
And there was a 12-horse buggy down there that
Good
he pulled.
Gracious.
If you can just imagine.
I can't.
I've seen a picture of him driving this buggy. Julius was his name. And he was the coachman that drove the... So he would drive the Joneses. I can see it right
now. I've never even heard of a 12-horse coach.
It was quite a... I don't know what has happened to that mm-hmm. picture, but that was... And he was a little man. He was about 5'2" tall.
Well, he must have had a special way with horses.
But he could handle those horses. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
And there was Airlie on a streetcar route, or how did people get to Airlie from Wilmington and from New York City or wherever they were coming from?
It was a road, a private road, really. A lot of people think it was a city road, but it was a shell road for a long time. And
Coquina Shell.
Yeah,
right.
Coquina, I believe it's. Mm-hmm. But that's the way people got to the beach. You mentioned streetcars was how you got to the beach, because people just didn't have the cars.
That's right.
The roads weren't
that's
suitable.
Right. And you guys, you must not have been too scrupulous about keeping kids and folks off, because I've talked with people. I've been there when I know I wasn't invited in, and I've talked with people from all walks of life, all races, all colors, all age levels, all whatever, and we all went to Airlie, and we weren't guests of your grandparents, I can tell you that.
Admission never began to cover all the people that I know that went in there, and probably shouldn't have been in there. But they were. But
nothing was ever really terribly vandalized. I mean, the people pretty much took care of things.
The only bad experience we ever had was back in the 70s, and it really wasn't Airlie as much. This was back when this witchcraft was becoming a thing at that point in the middle 70s, early to mid 70s. And a bunch of vandals did break in at night. Really, the damage they did was in the cemetery. They broke many of the headstones, and knocked them down. But they were caught. The ones that did it were caught and brought to court. And the judge, remarkably, ordered them to do work down there. And I think they spent about all of one summer, and probably longer than that. But
That's a fair sentence. That was was a wise judge.
It was a way judge could do things back then. Now that wouldn't be possible. But that was really unfortunate. And a lot of the headstones, there are a lot of mm-hmm. unmarked graves in the cemetery, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. What's your vision for Airlie for the future? I know that it's now a public garden. It's not your family's anymore, but. How would you like for Airlie to be carried forward in the future?
For people to go and experience as much as possible what some of us saw down there and experienced, and what it means to families to get together and to share, enjoyment of beauty and nature. And the lake, it's about 10 acres of lake in there, and it's just the serenity that one can't help but feel. Mm-hmm. If you're having a bad day and you drive through that gate, I almost guarantee you when you leave...
You'll feel better.
You will feel much better.
Have you and your family ever received any really special letters from people about just really memorable experiences or how early it's helped them?
Numerous letters. They would, I would say that, let me add this, that's not part of your question, but early eventually, when the county purchased it, they purchased it from, and this is misunderstood by a lot of folks, from Corbett Package Company, of which I'm a partner in Corbett Package. They purchased it from Corbett Package, so they actually own Corbett Package Company, who was my grandparents, actually owned the gardens when it was donated, and there was a donation, contribution, and a sale to the county. So that's probably not too clear for a lot of folks.
Yeah, it was a complicated transaction.
Yes.
But it was a wonderful transaction, and it's a real gift that it's been given to the public. I think it'll be there for people, hopefully, to make those memories, you know, in the future, whether they're marriages or weddings or just, you know, a stroll down the walk in a way to get away from the office. I do know that it's one of the few places in the community where you can still see ladies with hats.
That's true. And I think it's important for the people in the county, in the area, and visitors to express that now to the county folks and the administration, county administration, and the county commissioners, both now and in the future, to let them know, you know, what it means to them and to the area and to other people.
Well, I remember for a long time when I was growing up, remember the big Wachovia Bank building down here on 3rd Street, which has long since been torn down.
Yep.
But that was the bank that my family and I used to bank with. And when you'd go in there, you'd see three enormous oil paintings behind the wall for the tellers. And one was of Orton Plantation, and one was of Airlie Gardens, and one was of the Bellamy Mansion.
Yep.
And I think there are just, in every community, maybe there are a couple of places that give the character of the community what it is, that make it something special. And Airlie is one of those, so it's something
we still have a number of them, not as many as we once did, but fortunately we're preserving what we can, and that's important for the generations to come, I think, to do that.
It is. So it's more than 60 acres. It's live oak trees and moss and statuary. It's sort of the quintessential southern garden. And I think you're right. I think the curves and the paths and the vistas and the sort of the sense of drama and mystery are what make it really, really special.
Something I thought sure you would ask about is the birds.
Tell me about the birds.
You're such a strong Audubon person yourself. I said, surely she's going to ask
about the
birds. And to me, that is one of the most exciting things, to see those the ducks fly in,
the egrets and the colonial water birds, the herons.
You name it, more kinds of the swans that are there, just all the various birds, right down to the occasional woodpecker.
And the butterflies, too. I mean, it's a great place because of all of the flowers and the blossoms there.
To me, it's just all of that is a part of what makes up the nature and it's like they found their own little paradise, and as we used to promote Airlie as Earth's paradise in all its glory, and that's part of what the glory is the glory of nature and the glory of the birds, the squirrels, the rabbits, the raccoons.
They may not have anywhere else to go, but they at least have Airlie Gardens.
I think I've seen most everything in there but a bear and a deer. So,
really?
But it's and it's that and more is what really makes it special.
Is there anything else I haven't asked you about that you want to tell us about Airlie Gardens?
It's I think we've pretty well covered it. There's no way to cover everything that has taken place down there. I think what really is taken place down there, though, and that makes it special are people that go and see it and get to experience what it's meant to so many other people, and and it can almost just change your life.
And share those stories with others,
sure.
too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Albert, as you know, my family and your family have been friends and worked together for a long, long time.
Over half a century.
Over half a century. My father worked for your family.
The finest people I ever knew.
Thank you very much. And
as your mother is.
It was. She certainly is. I'm very blessed. And it certainly has been one of the greatest things of my sort of conservation life to be able to work with your family with the Coastal Land Trust and the county, and to help preserve Airlie Gardens. And
you've done a magnificent job.
It's been a tremendous
with your team.
Tremendous success story for all of us. And I want to thank you and all your family for working with us.
It's been fun. It really has, and will continue to be.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
If it's okay, I just have one or two more questions.
Okay.
Sure.
Is that all?
To start. I'm curious. Is there anything, you know, your great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be able to listen to this recording. Is there anything you would want them to know about your connection to Airlie Gardens and your family, your experience there?
Well, I don't know in my life where I could have experienced it otherwise. You know, it's one thing to describe something to someone verbally, but seeing it, experiencing it, and in the years to come, my life will be a lot more complex than it was when I was growing up. And Camilla, you're younger, but. And when you were growing up, even it's already is,
and it'll continue to get more complicated.
I hope they will, generations to come, will take the time to experience these treasures that we have, that we've been surrounded by, and almost I chuckle almost because it is unbelievable that we take all of these things
for granted.
Mm-hmm. And we must preserve them. We must protect them. And more importantly, we just need to get out and enjoy them. And life is full of things like that right around us, regardless of where you live. If you live out in the country, there's experiences there that you need to appreciate and experience. And I guess that's my greatest wish is to share those experiences with other people. And I don't know how to put a value on that or say it any other way.
And you mentioned a couple of your memories with your grandfather and your father. I'm wondering, is there, when you think of Airlie Gardens, is there one memory that stands out for you of either your father or your grandfather?
I'll tell it quickly. My grandfather, the first time I ever went crabbing down there in Bradley Creek, we walked down there on this pier that was built out there. And he walked out there. He said, "Albert," he said, "I want to show you how to catch a crab." And anyway, he put the line down, the string with the fish head on it, and got it up. He said, "Now you take this net and swoop it up like I'm doing." And I can see it right now with that crab, big old blue crab, coming up to that net. And he'd shake it a little bit, try to get him off. He wouldn't come off. And he reached down there with his hand
to pull the
crab off. And that crab claw, one of his claws turned around and got my grandfather's finger. And he shook his finger, and he wouldn't turn loose.
They don't turn loose.
And I could tell he was in excruciating pain, but he wasn't going to let his young 10-year-old grandson see that. Eventually, he got him off, and his finger, I can see it right now, was
a bloody mess, probably.
a mess, nothing serious, mm-hmm. But I guess that's one of my more interesting remembrances of my grandfather, who passed away when I was 10 years old, mm-hmm. But that was a That was a moment in time.
Well, he taught you how to crab and also that's how right, not to crab. Right. You don't put your hand down there.
Leave that crab alone.
Leave that crab alone. Right. Wait to put him in the bucket when he's ready to go.
Shake it a little more.
What was your grandfather's name?
Walter Albert Corbett. I guess you would say I'm his namesake.
Mm-hmm. Anything else before we close?
Plenty, but I can't get it all, in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's fun to do.